Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So imagine with me, before you imagine with me actually, we're in a series because Brother James, I'm just about to fall. So you can do that when you don't have the mic. Brother James, I just lost my balance. Is that cool? But I just want to hang out down here. So Brother James started a series at the start of the month, which is Identity in Christ. So that's the series that any Pneuma church you go into at the moment, we're doing a series around our identity, your identity in Christ. So James started that the first week. He talked about identity in crisis. Prem spoke last week, demand and supply. That was more just around something different, more kind of Mother's Day, but was a special day. But today I'm back in with identity in Christ. Cool? Yeah. Our identity is in Christ. So imagine with me that you're on death row. It's like, well, what's death row? Is that an American thing? See, there's no, you don't really get executed anymore in Australia. Not that any of us have faced that before, and I'm not joking around. But actually in Australia, it's amazing that people will not be put to death for what they've done. It's also not amazing because there is justice, but that's just the law. They'll be sentenced for 25 years, 13 years. But just imagine with me, you've done something so wrong that you've been given a life sentence or maybe a death sentence. In other countries that happen, you feel helpless. And you know you did what you did. And you know that you deserve it. But then all of a sudden, you're declared not guilty, even though you are guilty. All of a sudden, it's like, you are free. You are free to go. How good would that be for that person or for you? You see, you and I, all of us, actually had the death sentence. But Jesus actually set us free. See, we can die naturally. We can die violently because someone has forced it on us when it comes to natural death. But the death that I'm talking about is spiritual death. Spiritual death in that we can be so separated from God that the spirit that He gave us is dead. It's only through what Jesus did on the cross that actually we can say yes to Him and He comes into our heart and He regenerates. He wakes up our dead spirit. His spirit comes in, our spirit comes alive, and we become one with Jesus. That is good news. That brings freedom. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 to 17. Romans 8, 1 to 17. God declares you and I not guilty. He offers us freedom. Romans 8, 1 to 17 says this. Paul in Romans has been talking about the law and sin and the struggle that we have, even as Christians, because we have the Spirit in us, but we still have the flesh in us. Every time you hear me talk about the flesh, every time we read about the flesh, we're talking about our sinful nature. All of us are born with a sinful nature. So, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The only way we can put to death the deeds of the body is by the Spirit. Some of us, all of us, we struggle to deal with certain things in our lives, but we can't do it by ourselves. He says, it's by the Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who were led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. 17 verses of Romans chapter 8. There's many more verses in that chapter. There's so much richness in Romans 8. And for a few moments this morning, we're just going to look at those 17 verses. And the first thing that I want to remind us of and declare to us is that you are free. You are not guilty. Today I'm talking about the identity we have in Christ. And the title is You Are and You Are Not. You are and you are not. So you are not guilty. You are not guilty. You are free. I am free. Freedom. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. This is good news. It says there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is punishment. There's no punishment for you. It didn't say there's no consequence for our sins. But we're not going to focus on that right now. There's no punishment. Jesus has taken the punishment for your sin and my sin. Our sin, it says the wages of sin is death. Jesus died for you and I. So you are free and you are not guilty because Jesus has taken the death punishment. This is a gift. We have been given a gift. This is grace. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Are you living like someone who is free today? Am I living like someone who is free? Someone who is not guilty? Why do we still struggle with guilt and shame? Why do I still struggle with guilt and shame when Jesus has paid for it all? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, For the Lord is Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you have Christ in you, you belong to Him, you are free. The Spirit is in you. There is freedom. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." What does this freedom look like? What does freedom from the power of sin and death look like? We all deal with stuff every day. We have the flesh in us, but we also have the Spirit in us. It's like I'm back at Easter talking about the same stuff. But this is the gospel. We need to get this and walk it out. Freedom. What does freedom look like? It's actually, I believe, it's the ability to say yes to God. Freedom is the ability to actually say yes to Him. Can you say yes to God and not be controlled by the flesh? Can you say yes to God and not be controlled by your sinful desires? Can you say yes to God and not be controlled by others around you? What does freedom look like? It's freedom from fear of man. We heard about it this morning in our prayer meeting. Freedom from the fear of man. We were all born to worship. So we start worshiping the wrong thing. We worry about what people are going to say, what people are going to think. And we fear man. We want to please people. Freedom is saying yes to God. What does being under the power of sin and death look like? Anyone have any secrets, any hidden sin in their lives? We can become slaves to the hidden sin in our lives, the secrets that we don't tell anyone, that only God knows. That's what I'm saying today. God wants to do some heart surgery on all of us because He knows the things that you're struggling with, the things that I'm struggling with. But it's only when you share those things with a trusted person that freedom starts to come. What does freedom look like? What is being under the power of sin and death look like? Addictions. We can struggle with addictions, but actually, what's behind that addiction? What are we trying to numb ourselves from? This is the power of sin and death, because the more and more we get into that, the more and more it leads to death, death being distance from God, being away from the things of God. And that can only lead in one direction. What does the power of sin look like? Ungodly mindsets, attitudes, bitterness. Tell me you've never been bitter at someone. We all struggle with that. But can you be free enough in the Lord to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to look at this situation in your ways and I'm going to get help from you to deal with it." Unforgiveness, gossip. This is what some examples of sin. Sin is any word, thought, or deed that does not line up with God's heart, with God's will. And we are all sinners. But we need to stop focusing on the sin and actually focus on what He has done. See, what He has done, we are told that, "For God has done," verse 3, "what the law, weakened by the flesh." See, we were given the law. Moses gave God's people the law. But the flesh, the sinful nature that we have, weakened the law. And the law was not enough. So it says, "by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." Jesus was sent in the, He wasn't sent as sinful flesh. We were born as sinful flesh. But He was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was sent for sin. And then He condemned sin Jesus dealt with sin in his flesh, in our flesh. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest, that he was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. So he was sent for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus has dealt with it. So how is it? And I'm here with you. There's things that I've struggled with. There's things that I still struggle with. And I'm going, but how is it that God has set me free? He's given me this gift. But yet, I can still struggle. It's like I was in chains before I said yes to Jesus. You were in chains before you said yes to Jesus. And now you've been set free. But how then do you stop from doing the same stuff? When you're free, man, you can go here, you can go there, you can do whatever you want. But how can you stay with your hands in a place of just, I'm a worship, I'm going to do what he wants, and not end up back in that place again? Why do we have to walk like this when he's already set us free? How can we stay free? See, it's a gift what he's given us. Salvation, freedom, but we actually have to steward it. He's given us freedom. So we can know that we are not guilty and that we are free, but we actually have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to steward our freedom. How do we do that? Paul tells us what we're to do. We are actually to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not set our minds on the things of the flesh. I am to set my mind on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of the flesh. This is a minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day decision. There is a battle for your attention. There is a battle for my attention. And fruit comes out of whatever you're setting your mind on. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit, there will be fruit. You set your mind on the things of the sinful nature, there will be fruit. This is the key to us stewarding the gift that he has given us. Verse 4. We'll go to verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's like, feels like it keeps repeating. But as you feel maybe it keeps repeating, ask yourself, am I setting my mind on the things of the flesh? Am I setting my mind on the things of the Spirit? What does that look like? When it says set your mind in the Greek, the word phronina in the Greek actually means purpose. It means mindset. It means the why. So setting your mind is like setting your why. Am I setting my why in what I do? What's orienting my day-to-day life? Is it set on the things of God? Or is it set on the things of the world, the things that I want, that I need? For to set the mind on the flesh is death. What are some things that maybe you're doing day to day or taking in that are actually set your mind on the things that lead to death? Whereas when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. You see, if you gratify the desires of the flesh, you starve and quench the Spirit. We all have fleshly desires. If you gratify that, you actually starve and quench the Spirit. Because you still have the Spirit in you. It's like whatever you're feeding is going to be dominant. If you set your mind, if you gratify the things of the flesh, you're going to starve and quench the Spirit. But if you gratify the things of the Spirit, guess what you're going to starve? The sinful nature. This is simple stuff, isn't it? But imagine if we got a renewed revelation on it. Let's go to Galatians 5, 16 to 25 real quick. Galatians 5, 16 to 25 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other." Galatians 5, 16 to 25. This is real. "To keep you from doing the things you want to do." Listen to that. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." There's actually things that you want to do, but because you might end up gratifying the wrong thing, then you can't do them. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident." Maybe you're wondering, bro, what are you talking about? Flesh, Spirit? Well, here it is. "Now the works of the flesh are evident." Sexual immorality. What's sexual immorality? Any sexual activity outside marriage. Whether that's by yourself or with someone else. That's sexual immorality. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. You're like, oh, none of those really match up with anything I can, you know, relate to. Rivalries. We all have some sort of rivalries. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Man, this guy's just going there. He's got everyone covered in the world. He says, "I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." I encourage you to memorize those fruits of the Spirit. They're not just for the kids upstairs to memorize and sing about. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit there. If you have no words to say to anyone else after church, just go, peace, joy, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, wisdom, faith, self-control. They're like, what are you doing? You're like, fruits of the Spirit. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Yeah. Have you crucified the flesh with its passions and desires? 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." What are you putting into your mind? What are you looking at? What are you exposed to? I'm speaking to myself. God's challenging me. See, if we're just reading novels, if we're just talking to unbelievers, if we're just watching Netflix shows that have nothing to do with the things of the Spirit, if we're just binging on TV series, if we're just watching sport all day, every day, baby, all day, every day, if we're just gaming, oh man, I've just got to numb, I've just got to, you know, just switch off. If we're just doing that all the time, we're just heading in one direction. No wonder why we struggle. No wonder why we can't relate with moments where we're just like wanting to engage with the Spirit. Because we haven't fed the Spirit. We actually have to feed the Spirit. It's about what we're taking in. We've got to read and study the Word. Do you have a Bible? If you've still got your new Christian Bible from 10 years ago, it's time to buy a new Bible. The one that church gave you. Get a new Bible. One of my brothers in here, new Christian, invested $150 into a Bible. He comes to life group with it all in a bag. He protects it. He loves it. He cherishes it. Do you love your Bible like that? We're to daily and frequently ask the Lord, God, what do you desire? Do I ask God, what do you desire, Lord, today? What's your heart today? The statement that's to always come out of our minds and our lips is, Your will, not my will. Your will, Lord, and not my will. Our minds are to be constantly renewed, constantly being renewed. There's so much noise around us, so much junk around us and in us. We share it with one another. So we actually need our minds to be renewed. Romans 12, verse 3 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. Yeah. Oh God, what's your will for me? Just show me. And then we still do all the other stuff. Listen to all the other things. His will is in here. He's going to tell you, do this, do that. Then you've got to test him in it. Go for it. See him. He is faithful. Walk with him. You are to set your minds on the things of the Spirit. You are not to set your minds on the things of the flesh. See, God is challenging me on my screen time. Who doesn't have a screen in this room? On your wall, in your pocket. See, there was a screen on the plane. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I've been reading the Word. I've been doing this and that. Now it's time for me. Do you ever say that? Now it's time for me. And praise God, before I left, one of the great people in here said to me, when you're there, just listen to the Holy Spirit. No, duh, I was thinking. But that was my flesh. Do I need to do something different with this mic? All good. I'm so thankful for that lady because it was only later on I realized, wow, even though sometimes we don't hear what people are saying, our spirit does. So this lady said to me, listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm there. I'm about to start watching this movie. I'm just trying, you know. I'm like, ah, now this one looks good. But there's so many intimate scenes in that movie, and it was nothing crazy, but it was just like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, is there anyone else watching me? Like, you know, you're on the plane, everyone can see. And I'm just being convicted, like, don't. But I'm like, Lord, I even fast forwarded it. But there was just so much talk about it, about sex and all this stuff in there, and there was swearing. And I'm just like, I can't do this. And so I didn't really get to watch a proper movie on the plane because God's challenging me. We ended up watching a movie on the way back about a child with autism and all this stress and how to deal with that. But there was such joy in the movie. So God's challenging me on what I watch. For the last few weeks, I've had no desire to watch the same shows that I usually watch. Because for time and time again over my life, God's always challenging me on what I watch. And a lot of us know this. If you were sitting there on your couch watching that show and Jesus was there with you, would you still be watching it? Oh, Jesus. Close your eyes, dude. You can't see this. Like, what conversation are you going to have with Jesus when you're watching it? We make so many excuses. Oh, man, I just want to keep up with culture. I want to be relevant. I need to know what's happening. There's so much happening in the world with people at your work, people at your church, people next door. You don't have to watch it on a movie. You don't have to watch people act it out. You can keep up with culture and trend by just loving people. Whereas we sit there and we feed on the stuff. And man, I know when I'm watching something and my spirit's like, oh, and I just shut it off. I just shut the spirit off. I set my mind on the natural thing. Lord, this is entertainment. Oh, violence. Yeah, I see violence in the Bible. It's all good. No, it's not all good. Because what fruit's going to come out? What should come out? If you assess your life, you'll see the fruit that comes out. That's what God's challenging me on. I'm not saying stop watching what you're watching, but listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Think about Jesus. What refreshed Jesus when he was on this earth? Because we can be like, oh, you know, that's just what I do for me time. What actually refreshed Jesus? What refreshes him today? I'm sure he played some games with the disciples. They had some sort of joy. They did something for recreational. But all I see is he spends time with the Lord. He goes off to be with the Lord. We can make excuses, but maybe sometime when we feel like we've just had enough, we just need to go for a sleep. Just sleep. Lord, speak to me in my sleep. Go for a walk. Go for a swim. There's things, if you actually ask God, Lord, what should I do to feel refreshed and restored? He'll tell you. And you know, with the Bible, when we read the word, do we actually engage our minds? Or are we just reading? Because it's about setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. Are you engaging your mind in it? Or are you just reading a story? Are you actually working, trying to work out, Lord, how does this apply to my life? How am I going to actually change and apply this? We need to engage our minds. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of the flesh. One of the things I realized is that many of us actually treat the Bible like how I've treated this book. This book has been on my shelf, bookshelf, for years. I can't even remember who gave me this book. I can remember who gave me this book, but I can't remember whether I borrowed it or whether they gave it to me, because it's an old book. Wilbur Smith, Elephant Song. It's got some African stuff in it too. I wanted to read it, but I've got so many other books to read on the shelf. I'm not good with reading novels. So many other books to read on the shelf. So many other things to do. This is how we treat the Bible. It just sits on the shelf. It sits on our table. And we just treat it like any other option. Where this is actually what setting your mind on the things of the Spirit should look like is go to the Word daily. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Journal about it. Because what you set your mind on is what's going to orient your life. It's the fundamental thing that's going to orient your day-to-day, your decisions. The decisions that you make, little, small, big, large. So who knows, I might read that sometime, but the Bible is where it's at for me. I believe for some, you're great readers, but actually God's calling you to just shut all those books away and maybe for months, just read His book. Read His book. Study His book. Man, there's so much to reading this book. You can just be all about this book. And it leads to other research and you can go deeper and deeper. So, you are to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You are not to set your minds on the things of the flesh. So, what has the last word in your life? Who has the last word in your life? Is it your flesh or is it your spirit? There is freedom available for all of us. This message today is about freedom. It's not about condemning anyone. And if you feel condemned today, I'm sorry. But you might end up leaving the church because you're going to get so annoyed because you'll keep hearing the same thing over and over again. Our interest is for your freedom that Jesus has already paid for. But if you're not getting it, and if I'm not getting it, then we just got to keep going there. But the word goes there all the time. There's so many verses, so many things in the Bible that talk about this. So, who has the last word in your life? Is it the Word? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it Jesus? Or is it the flesh? So, we have a gift, freedom. We have a responsibility to steward that freedom. But where does all this come from? It actually comes from our identity that we've been given. We've inherited an identity in Christ. And that identity is that you are a son. You are a son. I am a son. You're a son. You're not a slave. You are a son and you are not a slave. That is the inheritance and identity we've been given. Verse 12 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh We are not debtors to the flesh. We have no obligation to the flesh. So, Steve, are you saying that I actually have to neglect my flesh? It's not saying neglect your flesh or the natural desires. It's saying you've got flesh in you, you've got spirit in you. But if you prioritize this spirit, that's actually going to look after the flesh. There's going to be a flow-on effect from the things of the spirit to how your mind is, how your body is, how your soul is. But if we try to do it the other way around, we're just going to be struggling the whole time. So you are a son and you're not a slave. You owe nothing to your sinful nature. Verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." If you're led by the Spirit, you are a son of God. Why does it say sons? Not sons and daughters. See, Jesus is the Son. And we've been created in His image. This is not about male, female. This is about His identity. And we identify with Him. People get so caught up, "Oh, I just said sons. Say daughters. Say brothers and sisters." No, this is talking about Jesus. It's not talking about feminism or anything else like that. Or sons. You're a son. Doesn't mean you have to start greeting everyone, "Brother, brother, brother, brother." But you are a son. This is our identity. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." See, His spirit that is in us, there's a witness from His spirit in us that makes us want to call Him Abba. Abba means daddy, father. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. This is our identity. This is how we put the deeds of the body to death, by the Spirit, as sons of God. And you hear me, yes, say sons and daughters. That just means we're children of God. We are children of God. We have been adopted. We've all been adopted. If you said yes to Jesus, you have been adopted into a new family. God's family. Do we live like we've been adopted by God? Do we live through His heart, by His heart? Your identity is not slave, because that's not the spirit you've received. Are you a slave to anything at the moment? Are you a slave to anyone at the moment? Any mindset? What's enslaving you? Because Jesus died, gave us freedom. He rose again so that we would live in freedom. Jesus called God Father. And He still calls Him Father. You are His child. This is our identity in Christ. You are not an orphan. None of us should be orphans, because we have a Father. We're all adopted. You're either adopted or you're up for adoption. You've either already been adopted or you're up for it. This is what is available for us. See, back in those days, when someone got taken out of slavery and got adopted into a family, they would then receive all the rights of that family, of that father, all the privileges. And that's what we have in God. He gives us authority. What would you rather? Adoption or slavery? So to conclude this morning, for you and I to live as sons, we actually need to realize and know that we are free. We are not guilty. We are free. We are not guilty. And for us to walk in that freedom, we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Because it says, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. As we do this, as we walk and live knowing that we are free, that we're not guilty, and we are setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, keeping in step, that comes from the Word. You get in the Word, you live by the Word. We actually see ourselves come to know more of the Father's heart. Day by day, His heart grows in us, and we actually start to see the power of sin in our lives decrease. And what happens is that the Son in us increases. Jesus, the Son in us increases. And our sinful nature decreases in terms of the power it has on us. Can we all stand? The Son in us increases and the bondage to the flesh and fear decreases as we walk in the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.